2 weeks of shooting and squeezing, he told her, pushing in the lighter. Shake and bake and don't look for the fucking Arvin, baby, because they always seem to have better things to do. Bitches, barbecues, and bowling tournaments, Malenfant used to say. We kept taking casualties. The air cover was never there when it was supposed to be. No one was getting any sleep. And it seemed like the more other guys from the Ashau linked up with us, the worse it got. I remember one of Willie's guys, Havers or Haber, something like that, got it. Right in the head. He got it in the fucking head and then just lay there on the path with his eyes open trying to talk. Blood pouring out of this hole right here. Sully tapped a finger against his skull just over his ear, and we couldn't believe he was still alive, let alone trying to talk. Then the thing with the choppers, that was like something out of a movie, all the smoke and shooting, boop, 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 boop. That was the lead-in for us, you know, into Yorville. We came up on it, and boy, there was this one chair in the street, like a kitchen chair with a red seat and steel legs pointing up at the sky. In the street, it just looked crap-ass. I'm sorry, but it did. Not worth living in, let alone dying for. Your guys, the Arvin, they didn't want to die for places like that. Why would we? The place stank. It smelled like shit, but they all did. That's how it seemed. I didn't care so much about the smell anyway. Mostly, I think it was the chair that got to me. That one chair said it all. Sully pulled out the lighter, started to apply the cherry red coil to the tip of his cigarette, and then remembered he was in a demonstrator. He could smoke in a demo. Hell, it was off his own lot, but if one of the salesmen smelled the smoke and concluded that the boss was doing what was a firing offense for anyone else, it wouldn't be good. You had to walk the walk as well as talk the talk. At least you did if you wanted to get a little respect. Excusez-moi, he told the old mama-san. He got out of the car, which was still running, lit his cigarette, then bent in the window to slide the lighter back into its dashboard receptacle. The day was hot, and the four-lane sea of idling cars made it seem even hotter. Sully could sense the impatience all around him, but his was the only radio he could hear. Everyone else was under glass, buttoned into their little air-conditioned cocoons, listening to 100 different kinds of music from Liz Phair to William Ackerman. He guessed that any vets caught in the jam who didn't have the Allman Brothers on CD or Big Brother and the Holding Company on tape were probably also listening to WKND, where the past had never died and the future never came to